Now, some changes are coming to the way some students at Madison West High School are graded. For one thing, no more zeros. Instead, in many cases, the lowest grade you could get is a 40%, even if you get everything wrong. It's known as a grade floor. It's going to apply to freshmen in West's core classes, so English, math, science, social studies, that kind of thing. Also, if you turn in work late, teachers can give you a grade of up to 90%. This has happened in other schools around the country. Supporters say it helps students keep on track to graduate. Critics say they could hurt students in the long run. Karen Boran joins us. She's the principal at Madison West High School. Karen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into how exactly this works, can you talk about the motivation? What are you trying to accomplish with this change?
Sure. The transition from eighth grade to ninth grade is probably the most significant transition a kid has in their academic career. And in some cases, attendance goes down and GPA goes down. And since the research that's coming out shows that GPA is twice as effective a predictor of a student's ability to be successful in college and graduate on time than test scores, we really want to look at what can we do to increase students' GPA during their ninth grade year so that they remain on track to graduate in 4 years.
So talk about a little of the math here. What happens to that student who might get a zero, say, on that big assignment in these core classes?
Sure. So what we're trying to do is prevent the super F. And so, Rob, let's say you had a bad day.
It happens.
You'd had a bad day and you bombed a test. If that test is a test where what we call a summative test, a unit assessment, something that's got big points attached to it, and you bomb it, the grading scale in many places right now is a 100-point scale. Now, that means that anything below a 60 is failing. You get 10 points to get an A, 10 points to get a B, but you have 60 points for an F. So if you're trying to recoup and you get a super F, it makes it extraordinarily difficult. Now, the thinking behind this change, and again, we're piloting just in our ninth grade teams this year, just as is happening in other schools in the district. The thinking behind the 100-point grading scale is that in the late 19th century, this was a device that was used when 50% was the passing rate. Right now, it's about 75. So it's a construct from the 19th century that somebody invented. In other schools, they might use a 5-point grading scale or a 20-point grading scale. So the fact of a 100-point is something that we can look at and decide whether or not that really provides the best opportunity for every kid to demonstrate mastery of content, skills, and standards. Sometimes it's such a demotivator that kids just lose all hope in being able to come back from it.
Right. You can see a scenario where a kid comes into high school. It's this crazy new setting. The standards are different. The class schedule's different.
Yep.
Their first couple few tests, they bomb. And then they're basically mathematically eliminated potentially from an A or maybe even a passing grade.
That's right. Now, there are some concerns about this that perhaps, this will lead to grade inflation. Mm-hmm. The University of Chicago's Consortium for Chicago School Research did a study on that and did not find grade inflation. They found that while this practice was going on in those schools, they saw a commensurate rise in student achievement with respect to graduation rate and test scores, as well as GPA. Another concern is that we are not holding everyone to the same level of rigor. Mm-hmm. And Rob, one of the things I want to say about that, true rigor is high standards for everyone, and then the kind of supports that allow the individual to really reach those standards. And so what we're really trying to do is provide true rigor for all kids so that all kids can demonstrate mastery of the skills and content that teachers are aiming towards.
Another part of this plan, as I understand it, involves late homework assignments and kind of having a standardized measurement for what students can get if they come back and turn it in late. What happens there?
Sure. So What we are piloting in our ninth grade core teams, now remember, we've been working together on these conversations. This is the third year. So it's still evolving, and we're not, the teams are making the decision as to what gets implemented and what gets piloted. So we're trying to bring this from the ground up. But let's say you have some late work. We would rather you did the actual homework and turn it in late than ask the teacher for extra credit and get credit for doing a crossword puzzle or something non-related. Just do the practice work. The 90% is to provide a motivator for the kid to actually turn in the work. And of course, there's a challenge with kids holding on to all the work and then turning it in right before the test. These are 14-year-olds, so let's just remember that that's a possibility. But we would rather that they did the work and get the points than not do anything at all.
Are there other features of this plan you want to point out?
Sure. The fact that the goal is really to come to consensus as to what our teachers are doing at any particular grade level. Our students move through 7 classes a day. And when teachers have different grading scales, different expectations, different late policy, different retake policies, it's very confusing for kids. So what we want to do is just provide consistency so the kid can understand what the rules are, which increases their motivation to go the extra mile and make up the work and do what they can to really improve their achievement.
And Karen, before we let you go, I know it's still early days. This is still an evolving process, but anecdotally, have you seen this making a difference for those incoming freshman students?
We have. We're seeing a reduction in failure rates in our core ninth grade classes. It's still not enough. Our white kids last year, our white 15-year-old students, were 97.3% on track to graduate. Our African-American students were 48.5%. We have a long way to go. Obviously, no shortage of intellectual capacity with the African-American kids, so we have to figure this out.
Karen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Karen Baran is the principal at Madison West High School. They're trying out different grading practices for freshmen. They include giving scores no lower than a 40%, allowing a grade of up to 90% for work turned in late, and as we heard, getting rid of extra credit. Now we bring in Peter Goff from UW-Madison, an assistant professor of educational leadership and policy analysis. His areas of expertise include K-12 educational policy. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thanks, Rob.
What do you think of this idea and what you're hearing, not just from Madison West, but other schools trying this grading floor?
I think the grading floor has a lot of potential, as Karen mentioned, to help narrow that achievement gap, particularly for the students that have faced the most adversity. So as you mentioned, some of these scenarios, we think about who is this policy benefiting? And it's not so much that if these are students getting 70s, 80s, 90s, it's not students that are impacted by this particular policy. This might be the student that their parents are going through a divorce, their pet died, right? They have something's going on in their life, intermittent or chronic homelessness, right? They're just dealing with things that the other students aren't in it. You know, those super Fs put them behind the ball sufficiently that they lose the motivation to move forward. So policies like this, I think, are helpful in keeping the students engaged and moving forward.
And Karen mentioned some people raised the concern that are we just lowering standards here for students? Do you have a concern about that?
Not explicitly. There is something to be said for Karen mentioned the long history of the 100-point grading scale. And so a lot of what we're doing now, we use that scale, but we don't particularly use it for the right reasons. So if we think about our ability to really distinguish how is a kid that gets a 64, which might be failing, and a 66, how are they really different in terms of their knowledge and how confident are we in that fine-grained of an assessment? So moving to something that's more like a 5-point scale where we have clearly defined standards and we know what the students know, I think is much more in keeping with what we want grading to be rather than just an opportunity to sort kids into different buckets.
It seems like with assessing a whole year's worth of work from a kid, even if we want a really truly objective standard, that may be easier said than done?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the idea that we can put a number or a letter on a student and have that convey meaning? You got a C in algebra. What does that actually mean? You know, what knowledge do you have? What knowledge are you lacking? What skills can you bring forward that your next year's teacher is going to be able to build on? These are really difficult tasks. So when we think about moving towards a more standards-based grading, where we really identify standard by standard if a student does have mastery or does not have mastery, that can be really helpful.
All right, this is a huge question. Is there, in your view, a right way or the closest to best way to do this?
I think keeping learning in the forefront. So we say thinking about how are we using grades? What are they good for, right? On one hand, as Karen mentioned, that a lot of the high schools work in collaborative teams. So being able to have teachers talk to other teachers about what's being learned, specifically what's being learned, what are the tasks that the students have mastered, what are the tasks that they're struggling with. If one teacher is able to, you know, their students are really excelling in a particular area, these sort of standardized assessments in grading by standard can really facilitate those conversations and help improve instruction. And it also, at the student level, helps convey what the students do know, what they don't know, and where we can give them supports to build their knowledge base.
We're talking about some new grading practices in classes at Madison High Schools and elsewhere around the country. Peter Goff is with us, Assistant Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea of grading floors that we heard about, a 40% minimum grade on, say, that big test? Do you have concerns about how this might work? If you are teaching in schools, what do you see as being the key for that first-year high school student, say, who's struggling early on? How do you keep them in the game and motivated to learn, even if it looks like they're flunking right from the outset? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our discussion with Peter Goff of UW-Madison. He's an assistant professor of educational leadership and policy analysis. We're talking about the idea of a grading floor in some schools around the country, including this year some schools in Wisconsin. The idea is to get rid of 0% grades that can be hard to bounce back from on, say, that big test or those big homework assignments. What do you think? Good idea? Bad idea? Call in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you'd like to see implemented in your kids' schools? Is this helpful or harmful to students? If you're a teacher, how do you think this would affect your classroom? If you had trouble, say, in your first year of high school, what would have helped you get through it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll bring on a caller now. Harry is with us in Madison. Harry, hi.
Hey, how are you? Hey, one point. So I'm on a scholarship foundation, and we see a lot of kids coming out of school, and I don't know if they're truly prepared for college. I mean, not that high school isn't hard, but I don't know if a lot of high school kids really have to put in a lot of time and effort to get good grades versus going to college, because I'm guessing that first semester in college is probably one of the hardest semesters that kids have.
Harry, thanks for the call. Peter, can you connect the dots from that freshman year of high school to being ready for that freshman year in college if a student goes to college?
Sure. I think a lot of the same challenges arise coming out of a middle school into a high school. The organizational structure changes. The rigor definitely changes. And in that freshman year of college is just as important as that freshman year of high school to make that matriculation through the program. Harry, I think you're right. We do face a lot of challenges with the preparedness of students coming out of high school. I think we've removed a lot of roadblocks that have helped students graduate. So we've been able to improve graduation rates without just, you know, pushing people through. But there's still a lot of colleges struggle with the remediation programs that they have to deploy to make up for the skills that students aren't learning in high school.
Thanks a lot for that call, Harry. And Peter, you talked about, you know, making sure grades or whatever the rating system is support the learning. Do we have a system in many cases where the grades are the kind of the end all and be all of themselves, and then we do the learning to meet the grades or the assessments or the test or whatever it might be?
I think that's definitely a mentality in a lot of schools and for a lot of students. So the idea of using grades for the right thing is a cultural shift amongst faculty as well as among students to get people understanding that these are, it's communication, right? This is communication to the student, it's communication to other teachers, it's communication to the parents. And the more information that a grade can convey, the better that communication is going to be.
Let's bring on another caller now. Tyler is with us in Green Bay. Tyler, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because I work with a lot of students who education isn't necessarily their biggest priority because a lot of them are worried about what they're going to eat or if they're safe when they go home. And so developing those relationships with students really gets them ready to learn because they feel safe in the classroom, and that's where I see a lot of success happening.
Tyler, thanks for the call. What do you think, Peter?
He's absolutely correct. There's a pretty well-known book from Nell Noddings out of Stanford that's the main quote is that students have to know that you care before they can care about the learning. And I think that's exactly what Tyler is getting at. And this is particularly true for a lot of the students are less affluent students that are coming to school for a lot more than just the academics that are provided.
Thanks for that call, Tyler. Okay, but if I'm an educational policymaker at the federal level or the state level, you can give me numbers showing the grades or the SAT scores or whatever the evaluation is. It's very hard for me to quantify relationship building.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's I don't know that can be quantified or even that we should be trying to quantify it. But we talk to a lot of students about the role of particular teachers in their lives and kind of shaping their path forward and inspiring them through adversity, which is, you know, related to the grading floor conversation.
Let's go back to our callers. Patrice is with us in Azathlon. Patrice, hi.
Hi. So working with kids, not in schools, but outside, and they tell me that they're not allowed to get ones and twos, so the teachers will work with them so that they can get a three, just to do the bare minimum, just to get by. And they kind of joke about it because they're really not there to learn the content. They're just going through the motions. It's like they're playing school.
Patrice, thanks for the call. So Patrice's concern is if we don't let kids fail, there's no motivation for them to avoid falling short in school.
Yeah, that can definitely be a concern. I taught previously in Chicago, and that they offered summer remediation classes, and there were students that checked out, and they knew that the summer classes were easier. They had less rigor. So they said they'd basically just go through the motions during the school year so that they could take these makeup classes over the summer. So I think we have to be true to the system that we have. If we allow students to game the system, then that's what's going to happen. And I think we have to be okay letting kids fail, and at the same time knowing that we're providing them all the supports possible to ensure their success.
Thanks for the call, Patrice. We're talking to Peter Goff from UW-Madison, looking at experiments, including some Wisconsin schools, with the way students are graded, a grading floor, a big part of that, saying no, a total failure isn't 0%, it's 40%, and kind of changing the motivations for students, trying to keep them in the game in their freshman year. Back to your calls now. Kevin is with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hi. I'm a teacher. I've taught private school, public school. I've been on both sides of these grade safety nets. But the big failure right now with education is we're still expecting all kids to learn the same thing at the same time in the same time frame, and it just doesn't happen. Some kids just aren't ready for certain concepts. It's brain development. It's relationships, as the previous caller said, and the stuff that really counts is just not measurable.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Peter, what do you think?
Kevin, I think you're absolutely correct. When we think about one of the benefits of standards-based grading, that gets exactly to the heart of what you're talking about. When we think about individualized instruction and students working on a particular standard can work on that standard at their own developmental pace until they have mastered that. And different students might progress through at different times. But if we use a standard-based approach, then we can meet students where they are and provide supports for where they are and help that they make sure that they master the material at their own pace. And I think that's exactly where the relationships are built. When the teacher is working with individual students in a classroom setting, but still working with individual students to build that rapport and trust.
Thanks for that call. Peter, in our last minute or so, bringing things back to our conversation with Karen Boren, we heard about these ideas, the grading floor, late homework, allowing that to count more, these efforts to keep freshmen in. Are these game changers? Are they tinkering around the edges? Do we need more fundamental change?
We do need more fundamental change, and this is tinkering around the edges, but it's an important tinkering. I think it represents something important. As Karen mentioned, we're focusing on the most vulnerable students, and we're making sure that the organizational system in which these students are operating doesn't hold them to an unreasonable standard, doesn't stack against the deck against them for these sort of, you know, catastrophic mistakes. It's the same reason why we have insurance day to day, right? To protect us against these unforeseen, really unfortunate events.
Peter, thanks a lot for joining us in the studio today.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Peter Goff, Assistant Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. We talked to him about new grading practices being tried out at Madison High Schools and elsewhere around the country. They include giving minimum classroom grades of 40%, getting rid of extra credit, and allowing a grade of up to 90% for homework that's turned in late. Earlier, we talked with Madison West High School Principal Karen Boran. Madison West is implementing these changes for freshmen in English, math, science, social studies, and gym classes.